Romans chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man, that it is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm preaching tonight on the Romans 12 life. The Romans 12 life. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, thank you so much and for the life that you have given us. And Lord, there are so many things in your word that we could look at that would show us, Lord, what we need to do just even for this week, even for this hour. But Lord, I know that you've put this on my heart for today. And Lord, I know that I've read over it. I've read through this book of Romans, and it's just such an encouragement from start to finish. And Lord, I do pray that this would be what we need tonight. I pray that you'd give me the words to say. Help me not to leave anything out that you'd like me to say. And Lord, fill me with your power and your moving. Fill our congregation today with the like-mindedness and open hearts and ears to your will. And let's just go home tonight tender and changed for your word. And thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross. And in doing so, changed our life forever. And Lord, that's such a blessing. If there's one here tonight who's not sure that they're saved, I pray that today would be the day that they trust you as Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The word be, we just talked about them, state of being verbs. And now, if you're in English class, and I think everybody in here has either been through English class or is going through English class, amen? And some of them rather painfully. And it is part of my job as a teacher to each day help students who need help in this area. But one of the very first things you learn is these state of being verbs. But what does the word be mean? Of course, it changes tenses. It can be all of those things. You wouldn't say, I be going to the store today. Some people say it that way. Amen. Okay. Around here, here's what I learned when I moved here. People say, seen. I seen you the other day. Okay, now Kentucky has its, I have my Kentucky accent there still, and there are ain't and other things that I say every once in a while, all right, that's Kentucky coming out in me, amen? But seen is one of those things. I seen you at the store the other day. I said, no, you didn't. You saw me there, okay, but that's a pet peeve, amen? But what does the word be mean? Well, there's three, if you look it up, there's three definitions, and there's a whole bunch of explanation about it, because it's an English word. It's one of the most used set of words ever, but it really means three things. Number one, to exist or be present. Number two, to occur, to take place or to occupy space. And number three, to stay in the same place or position. Okay, we could use all of those way. You know, do you want to be at church? Are you at church tonight? Yes, you are, right? You're in your place, okay? And we could start using those words however we want. But really, it means those three basic things. And before we get into Romans 12, I want to just point out the importance of this word. And what we're going to do is we're going to go all the way back to Genesis 1 in just a second. And there's something I want to show you. But you know what? I think the word be might just be the most spiritual verb of all the verbs. Amen? Why is that, Brother Young? Well, it might just be the closest to God. It might be the one word that really describes God all the time. Think about it. Okay, I'm glad I don't serve a God who was, or used to be, or whose promises were, right? Because that's what most gods are. Okay, they were worshipped at one time, but they're not anymore. Their promises never were. The false gods of the Bible, you know what? Most of them, I mean, they're gone, right? They're not even real. Okay, but I'm glad I don't serve a God like that. I'm glad I serve a God who says that I am. He uses that word. He is. Right? God uses those things to describe himself. And he always has been, and he always will be. So if there's a verb or a word that can describe God without any explanation, it is the word be. Because God is, he was, he has been, he will be, he always will be. I am. And you know what? None of us can quite say it like that. Because God's the only one who that word describes all the time. Amen. Because you know what? Name a person in the world and eventually they will have been. Okay? Or some people someday will be. But you know what? God is always. And that's an awesome thought just to stop and think about how important that little word is in the Bible. And so let's go back and look at it real quick. I want us to turn there. Genesis 1:1. We'll keep your hand in Romans 12 because we'll be there. So what does this word have to do with tonight? Well, we're going to look at Romans 12, and there's quite a few times where he tells us to be something. But if we look here in Genesis 1:1, you won't find the word be in there, but I want to point out what you do find right away. I can't get to it, amen. I know it, but I don't want to just quote it to you, amen. I want to read it. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't see a be word there yet, do I? There's no linking verb there. If you're a student of English, there's no being verb there. But there is a verb there. What's the verb? In the beginning, God created. That's not a linking verb. That's the opposite. That is a action verb. And you know what? The truth is, the concept that I want you to get you to latch onto here, we look at the first mention here in the Bible. I love Preacher's Law of First Mention. Boy, the day I heard that first mention, okay, the going back and find something in the Bible where it's mentioned first, that changed the way I looked at the Bible. Honestly, it did. And any time I come across a topic, I go try to find out where it was first. Where was it first mentioned and study it all the way through. But here we see God is first mentioned and he has an action. There was an action before there was ever a state of being. And the reason why is because there was nothing besides God. God, and that's the funny thing about this word. It's the best word to describe God, but you know what? God doesn't even need it, does he? He doesn't even need it. He doesn't even put it in. He didn't say, in the beginning, I was there. Does God start the Bible that way? No. Okay? He doesn't say, in the beginning, you know, it's me. All right? God doesn't proclaim himself. Okay, as being, he doesn't even use the word. He does proclaim himself there. It's very obvious that who was there? Just God. But you know what? He doesn't even choose to use that little word. Am, is, are, was, were, be, being, or been in that first verse. Instead, he goes straight to some action. Amen. He goes right to action and he creates the world. And I'm glad he did because we're part of that world. And so here we find, first of all, that you know what? We don't find the being verb right away. We find that God does an action. Simply put, God's the only one who can just be. By himself. God's the only one who can do that. We require action in order to be. We do. We require action in order to be. Are you a Christian? Okay. Well, you got to require some action for that. Paul's going to lay out some of those actions that he needs us to be. God has a whole bunch of things he wants us to be, but it's going to take some action to keep those things right. Does that make sense so far? There are some things I understand, and we're not talking about things. You know, you were born the way you were born. Okay? There's none of this changing junk going on, all right? They're trying to make that an action. That's not an action. That's who you were. God created you that way. You know what? God created you a certain way, and you can't change some of those things, can you? There's no action that you can take that can destroy what God has created, amen? And so that just shows me that there is a purpose there. But God does have a whole list of actions he needs us to take. And so we're looking here, basically, hey, listen, our actions are going to go one way or the other. As soon as God created that world, what happened? All right, he put Adam and Eve in it, and the garden, and everything was perfect. But you know what? What happened eventually? Man's actions changed the course of the world, didn't it? All right, man's actions brought sin into the world. And so from then on, we've got these actions, and we've got these state of being verbs, and they're always working together, whether for good or for bad. And honestly, we either have negative actions or we have positive actions. We do. All right? And human nature, we tend to be negative people. Amen? The old man wants to sin. All right? And if I just sit here and say, well, I'm going to stay here. Well, eventually, guess what's going to happen? My action is going to be I'm going to plop on the floor because I'm tired. All right? If I just stand here. Now, I might be able to stand here for days and days and days, but guess what's going to happen eventually? I'm going to go to sleep. Amen? All right? And you know what? Hey, we can try as hard as we want just to stay in one spot, but we've got to keep some actions to keep that right. So we're going to look at some of those. Go back to Romans chapter 12 real quick. And there's a few B's that I want us to notice. There's some B's. God says, I want you to be this. And he gives a whole list of them in this chapter, but some very important ones. And the first one's really not mentioned in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is very much, if you have a Scofield Bible, it's got a good breakdown of the Christian life. It even says here, Christian life and service. Number one, consecration to God, service to God, Christians and those within, that's the fellow Christians, and Christians and those without. And so a way to conduct yourself. But you know what? The first thing you need to be is you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Go read Romans chapter 1 through 11. Paul does a very great job of what we would call the Romans road, and he lays out exactly how to be saved. Amen. So listen, hey, tonight, you want to know what you need to be first? You need to be saved. If there's somebody in this room who's never asked Jesus to be your Savior, let me encourage you to do that today. You know, Romans 1 through 11, he not only lays out the Romans road, but Paul goes through very detailed steps, and he answers most questions that you could come up with while hearing the gospel. He really does. Because, see, he was dealing with Jews who had they had the law. You remember that? They had the law. And he had a whole bunch of talks in Romans about, hey, listen, the law is good, but the law just points out that I need a Savior, amen? And the law just points out my sin, and here's the reasons why you need to be saved. And you know what? Let me just read three of them real quick. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Okay? Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That was what happened just before this chapter. So before we ever get into how you're supposed to live, we find out first, you need to be saved. Number two, we find out you need to be separated and offered as a sacrifice. Look at verse number one. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what? This is an action. This is that action. Remember how in Genesis 1 we talked about law of first mention? Okay, you know what Jesus did, or God did first? He created. That's an action. And then after he created, he did a lot of things and told what he told Adam and Eve what they're supposed to be. He told Adam and Eve what they're supposed to do. But you know what? The first thing he did was he created. He had an action before any other being, okay, happened. Here in Romans, if you're going to live a successful Christian, the Romans 12 life, the first thing you need to do is, of course, be saved. But the first action after that is to offer, be a sacrifice. Offer yourself up. And he says here, it's a reasonable service. It's reasonable. Hey, listen, we've got some unreasonable, supposedly saved folks nowadays. We've got Christians who, for years and years and years, oh, I'm saved. All right, well, how about that reasonable service he talked about right there? It's my, going to church is, okay, going to church is special, but you know what? Going to church is nothing special according to that verse. It's my reasonable service. The other stuff is special. The other stuff we're going to get to. But there are some things, you know, praying and walking with God every day ought to be a given. It's a reasonable service. There's a whole list of this whole reasonable service category that comes. And he says here, hey, I'm beseeching you, brethren. Paul's saying, hey, folks, I'm talking to you right now. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what? That has to happen. Has to happen every day. Okay? Read the rest of Paul's works. He said, I had to kill the old man every day. Every day I got to kill the old man. Every day I got to offer myself up as a sacrifice to God and say, God, I'm yours today. You want to use me? All right? And you know what? That's the first thing we got to realize, okay? Reasonable. God gave his son for me. The least I can do for him is give my life every day to him, okay? I'm not going to go out and kill myself on a cross unless he tells me to, all right? Unless he needs me to. But you know what? Every day I'm going to kill the old man as often as I can. You know what that old man likes to do? He likes to keep raising back up, by the way. He's sometimes in the middle of the day. You killed him in the morning and he comes back by lunchtime, okay? You know, it might not even take that long. But you know what? It's our reasonable service to keep offering ourselves up. Hey, I'm here, Lord. What do you want me to do? Hey, number one, be saved. Number two, be sacrificed for God. And then we get this whole list. If you read through this passage, and it's all pretty much in order. Okay, let's look at them. Number two, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be transformed. Okay, after you get saved, that's great. Offer yourself as a sacrifice. After you're the sacrifice, what's next? Be transformed. Take the old thinking and get rid of it. One preacher said, get rid of stinking thinking. All right? And that's true. Get rid of it. Throw it in the garbage pail where it belongs. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That's got to happen almost as much as our sacrifice does. Because guess what? The world is pounding my mind with stuff all the time. And it's doing the same to yours, isn't it? Every day you wake up and you go out into your workplace. And you know what? If you work along with men in the world, you're going to hear stuff that you've got to renew your mind from. Okay, you've also got to be proactive in changing that. He talks about that pretty specific in this chapter. But you know what? We got to keep our minds renewed. Every day we ought to renew our mind with the Word of God. Every day we ought to renew our mind with some prayer and Bible reading and walking with Him. So hey, you know what? Be transformed in your thinking. Be transformed. Do we still think the same way we thought when we were first saved? All right? That's a good question for yourself. You know, we're here at a new year. Am I still in the exact same spot mentally in my thinking? Because my thinking does affect everything I'm doing. Okay? It affects my spiritual life. But am I the same now as I was 1 year ago? All right. Now, sometimes we need to, we're supposed to stay steadfast, right? We're supposed to stay solid. I'm not talking about changing doctrinal things, but I'm talking about, he says, renew your mind. Has it been a year since we renewed our mind? Has it been a year since my walk with God got better? Or has it kind of just stayed the same? Or has it gotten worse? I don't know. That's for you and God to figure out, okay? But here it says, hey, listen, be renewed. All right. Another thing I want you to notice, if we keep looking on for these word be, that he gives a really good list in this chapter. This is, you know, how to live the successful, the Romans 12 life. Okay. Be the proof that God is good. Be the proof that God is good. Look at that verse. Don't be conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what does it say? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, if somebody looks at my life, am I the proof that God is good? Am I the proof that God's will works? Am I the proof that it's a good idea to come to church? All right. You know, hey, listen, one person said it like this just recently, okay? We never get a day off from representing Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We never get a day off. We never get a day off from representing the Lord. If you've told somebody you're a Christian, you're on full-time 24/7 representation of what a Christian ought to be. And how are we doing that? Are we proving to the world that, not just that Blessed Hope is the place to be, all right? Because you know what? I want a person to go where God wants them to be. But you know what? We ought to be proving that Blessed Hope is a church full of people who love Jesus. We ought to be a living proof of, you know, and I think we are. I think if you go knock a door, they've probably heard from Blessed Hope Baptist Church before. And that's a good testimony. But you know what? All it takes is a few years of people saying, well, they used to, you know, everybody knows about us now. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Those people move away, new people come, and they've never heard from Blessed Hope Baptist Church because we're done knocking, right? And I don't think that's going to happen. I think we got a great door knocking program, Operation Occupation. But let me just throw this out there. It didn't take long before Operation Occupation is dead. It doesn't take long. All it takes is some people to stop stepping up every year and knocking doors. All it takes is helpers to stop helping, and all of a sudden, the leaders can't knock all the doors that there are to knock. And so we got to be careful. How are we proving? Are we proving to the world that, hey, this works? And we can be the happiest people on earth. Amen? So are you good proof that God is good? Number five, keep reading on down there. These are all in there. The word be, okay? Number five, be a faithful member of the body of Christ. Well, where's this at? Well, look at verses 3-8. The preacher just preached a message on this, so I'm not going to preach it all again. But I like this this idea of being part of the body of Christ. And here he says, for I say unto you, through the grace given to me, every man that is among you, not to think highly of himself, like he ought to think. And if you keep reading, for as we have many members in the body, all members have not the same office. And he goes through and he lists all of those gifts, right? Preacher just preached a great message on the gifts of the Spirit the other night. And you know what? Hey, somebody in this church, some people preach. Some people teach. Some people drive a bus. Some people knock doors. Some people are prayer warriors. But let me ask you, are you a faithful member of the body of Christ? Because he pretty much says it right here that if we're going to be the right type of member, we got to do it faithfully, all right? He even says that, you know, having gifts, verse 6, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether you prophesy according to the proportion of faith. He gives them some instructions, okay? Or ministering, let us wait on our ministering. Or teacheth on teaching, or exhorting on exhorting. I like this one. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. All right? I don't, you know, we're not going to study that out right now. Amen. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know what? If everybody in Blessed Hope were to do all of our jobs with a cheerful face, it would definitely prove to the world that, you know what, something's different around here. Okay? I go to church, man, and man, live, that door greeter, he smiled and shook my hand, and he was a little too happy. Amen? All right? You know what? I'd rather have him think that than say, man, what a grouchy church, you know? What kind of door greeter was he? You know, didn't hardly shake my hand, said, hi, how are you? Okay? Hey, listen, I'd rather be on the other side of that pendulum, all right? With a cheerful attitude. You know what? Don't be the one person on Sunday that you know, it all goes back to these representing Jesus. Don't be the one person on Sunday that the guest happens to meet and says, wow, what's wrong with that person? You know, or you know, they must be a visitor too. You know, because, and you know what? Hey, I'd rather, you know, maybe that'll help you, okay? All right, if somebody said that. But you know what? Hey, listen, if you're a core member, if you're here tonight, you're probably going to be here on Sunday, right? Yes, sir. Right? And you know what? Everybody who's here tonight, you know what you are? You are a core member. I mean, you're a big part of the body of Christ. Because when people walk in here on Sunday, they've never been to this place, some of them, and they walk in and they judge this whole church, not by preacher and his preaching, not by the singing. They judge it by you and I, all right? And so, hey, listen, are we proof that God is good, and are we a faithful member of the body of Christ, amen? And so I won't re-preach all that message that he did. He did a wonderful job. Look at verse number nine. Let love be, here's that word again, without dissimulation. Brother Young, what in the world does dissimulation mean? I'm glad you asked, all right? Webster's 1828 says this, the act of disassembling, hiding under a false appearance, feigning, a false pretension, hypocrisy. Dissimulation may simply be concealment of opinions, sentiments, or purpose, but it includes also the assuming of a false or counterfeit appearance which conceals the real opinions or purpose. That's pretty rough if you start thinking about it, okay? And he quotes, I love Webster's 1828. You know why? He uses that word and quotes that verse right there. Let your love be without falsehood would be a good way to read it. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Let your love for the fellow brothers in Christ and for everybody that you meet be like Jesus's, right? Because that's Jesus wasn't a hypocrite. Jesus wasn't hypocritical. He wasn't fake. You know what Jesus was? He was real. He was real. So what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be real. And you know what? Listen. If I have a hard time loving somebody, sometimes I'm very real with that person, right? You ever had that? I mean, I'm just telling you, okay? I'm not trying to hide it now. I'm not for going out. Like I said, you can be a grouch if you start doing that, okay? So you do have to remember you're an ambassador for Jesus, okay? But you know what? If I walk with Jesus, it's not hard for me to love. It's not hard for me to love that person when they walk in the door and they might smell a little different. It's not hard for me to truly love that person just because they're dressed differently. It's not hard. Not if you walk in with the Lord. Because you know what? Jesus loves, you know, we sing those songs, Jesus loves the little ones like you, 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 okay? And we sing all that song about that, but you know what? Sometimes we forget what it really means. And you know what? It's not just the little ones he loves, it's the adults that he loves too. It's the handicapped folks that come to church. It's the people that you and I might look at and say, well, they don't make as much money as me. He loves them. And maybe even, you know, if you start reading some scriptures, he listens to some of those folks, even though, you know, when they're in heartache, you know, the Bible talks about the widows and the fatherless. Maybe even Jesus pays a little extra attention to them. And so, you know what? Hey, let's just be real with our love. Let your love be without dissimulation. That means don't let your love be fake. Hey, you know what? Let's just apply that in our house, too. Yes, sir. Let's apply it in our home. You know what, teenagers? Your love for your mom and dad ought to be real. I don't care if you're a teenager, all right? I treated my parents a certain way, and I can just attest to you that, you know what? Hey, no teenage guy wants to wear a jacket when it's cold, okay? And my mother looked at me and said, wear a jacket. You know what? I didn't want to wear a jacket. You know what the problem was, though? It wasn't just that I didn't want to wear a jacket. It was how I treated my mother in that moment, all right? Now, that's just an example, all right? But you know what? Your mother, you ought to love her. Your father, you ought to love her, young man. Father, I love him. Amen. You ought to love your parents. Your love shouldn't be fake, because too many teenagers are coming to church and sitting not by mom and dad, which is okay because you're supposed to sit up here in the front. That's good. All right. But you know what? You wouldn't sit by mom and dad if the preacher asked you to, some of you. And I don't think that's in this church. I don't know. Okay. But you know what? Don't let your love for your parents be fake. Let it be real. Let it be real. And you know what, parents, the only way we can really expect them to do that is if we're doing it too. Let our love for our children be real. Not just a love of, oh, they're my kid, but do you know your kid? Do we know our children? Do we love them? The same way that God loves us. And I don't know why that really wasn't in my notes today, but you know what, I feel like, you know what, we need to make sure that our love for each other, no matter where we're talking about, we're talking about people that walk in the door, we're talking about each other in the church. Let your love be without dissimulation. Don't let it be fake. Let it be real. All right. We'll get through the rest of these real quick. They're not very long. Be kindly affectionate towards Christians. Here's the thing. He lists this, let love be without dissimulation. And then that word be, if you look at it, if you're into English, amen. All right. The Bible is a great book to learn English from. Okay. It's also a great book who likes diagramming? Anybody like diagramming? All right. That would be a long sentence to diagram. Right there. A lot of those colons and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Hey, the Bible and the Constitution, both of those things, all right, are really cool sentences to diagram. I've tried once because my teacher one time told me in school if I could diagram the preamble to the Constitution, I got a prize, $5 or something like that. So I tried. I think I kind of got it, and I don't remember. I don't think he gave me the $5, though. So I must not have done a good job. But if you look at that word, look at it. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate. Here's that word be right there in verse 10. And then this word be applies to everything after it. There's a whole list of stuff. All right. He says be this, be this, be this, be this, be this, be this, be this. And he goes on. All right. So we're going to say that. All right. You're going to look at him real quickly with me. Shotgun style. And we'll be done in 10 minutes. All right. Here we go. Be kindly affectionate one to another. That's pretty easy, all right? It's right there. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. So what do you need to be? Be kind to Christians. Be kind to Christians. All right, keep reading. Number next. In honor preferring one another. I did put this down here, okay, because he kind of throws that in second. But you know what? We ought to prefer each other in all areas that we can. And let me just throw this one out there because we got a lot of guys in our church who do certain things and have knowledge in certain areas. If I need something done and there's a guy in my church who knows how to do it, I ought to prefer him over some lost bum out in the world. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if he can't do it as good as Joe's down the road, then I need to go out and help have Joe down the road help me. All right? Maybe I'll get a chance to witness to Joe down the road. All right? So it doesn't always mean that. But you know what? As a Christian, we ought to be attentive to the people in our church. And you know what? Hey, if I need a certain thing done to my house, there's people here that I, you know what? I'm going to prefer that person to do it because I'd rather give my money to them. Yes, Okay? And you know what? We ought to be careful about where we take our money and put it sometimes in the world. You know, there's places, you know, we're not going to get into all of that, but there's places that support ungodly stuff. And if you're throwing your money there, but you're not preferring a Christian who does something of the same thing, then I think you might want to go back and revisit that verse and just ask God what he wants you to do with the money. And so that's just a side note there. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I ought to prefer my brothers and sisters in Christ in areas where I can do that. All right? Number next. Hey, what else should we be? Look at verse 11. Be a hard worker, not slothful in business. There you go. All right? Enough said there. Be fervent in spirit. Says it right there in verse 11. Be serving the Lord. I was at Christmas break, and I stopped by Brother Josh Lovin's church up in Plainfield, or Anderson, Indiana, outside of Indy. And he preached a whole message on be fervent in spirit. The whole message. And it was great. And you know what? Hey, we need some fervent Christians, amen? We do. We need fervency in what we're doing. All of these things, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, whatsoever the hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We could use some young men who want to do that. All right? We could use some teenage young men who have a fervent spirit for the things of the Lord. All right? And we could use some middle-aged young men, some older young men, some dads that are fervent in spirit. Amen? And serving the Lord. Both of those things, boy, they work. I love how they're together because they work together. Fervency in spirit and serving the Lord. All right? That's what we should be. We should be rejoicing. Look at that. Rejoice in hope. Okay? We should be patient in tribulation. We should be prayerful. Instant in prayer. Boy, I like that word, instant. Did you notice that there in verse 12? Be instant in prayer. You know what? Prayer chain isn't, let's wait 10 minutes before I pray, or wait till tomorrow, all right? Or prayer chain isn't, I understand that there's circumstances, okay? I don't always get the prayer chain right away, all right? I'll be working and helping kids in school, and, I don't check my phone that often, and I'll go in and say, oh, wow, there's a prayer chain. Okay, but you know what? A prayer chain, that's an instant communication. That's technology, right? You get it instantly. But you know what? It's not something that we say, oh, let's put it off and let's do it later. No, let's be instant in our prayer and stop and let's pray for that person. And then more than that, you know, to apply all the rest of the stuff we just learned, right? If you know somebody's got a need, let's prefer one another. Let's go back through the list and make sure we're doing it. All right, but let's be instant in our prayer. Boy, that's a good word. Instant in prayer. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. What does that mean? Be giving. Be giving. Wow, when's the last time I did that for somebody? When's the last time I took something that I had and noticed brother so-and-so had a need and I met that need? Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Being a blessing is good, but you know what? When someone has a need, we ought to be attentive to that. And it's easy for me, and it's easy for you, it's easy for all of us to get busy, and we walk around like those horses with the blinders, and we don't see anybody else's needs except for ours, right? But you know what? Sometimes we need to peel those blinders back, okay? I guess it could be like a horse and a mule. Maybe that's, I just thought of that, all right? Those horses, you know, all they're concerned about is here, but those mules, you put a mule out in the field, he'll let the farmer know if you're coming or not. All right? Mules are great defense animals, amen? You don't want to get kicked by one, okay? And they'll hee-haw till you leave, okay? So, hey, if you're going to be one, let's be more like that one, amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Next thing. Number 14. We should be giving, okay? Distribute. Be hospitable. Look at that. Given to hospitality. That's not a preacher's list right there, although that's in the pastor's list. Preacher preached on that last year, did a wonderful job. But here, we as Christians ought to be hospitable. I went ahead and I just looked it up because I like Webster's 1828, amen. Here's what hospitable means. Receiving and entertaining strangers with kindness and without reward. Receiving and entertaining strangers with kindness and without reward. Kind to strangers and guests. Disposed to treat guests with generous kindness. Being a hospitable person. You know what? We ought to be known. That's one way, you know, verse 1 there, proving that God's will is the best place to be. People aren't going to think that if you're never hospitable. Even just, hey, listen, let's take that hospitality and go with it to Dollar General. All right? And I'm guilty, and so probably all of us when we get in a hurry. But let's take that hospitality and take it to each person that we meet. You know, when that lady bags my bags at Dollar General, she's been there a long time. And she's seen 15 Baptist people walk by her without saying anything. So it should be of me to say something to her. Does that make sense? And you know what? Listen, we live in small town America. The same three different ladies and guy we see at Dollar General or wherever you go, right? So you get to know them. And at some point, they don't need a 1,500th track to church, okay? So, but you do, you know what? I'd rather them, you know, take that and do what they will with it, all right? I'd rather them take a kind word, you know, maybe every other time I get them a track, you know? But you know what? Let's take that hospitality and carry it with us so that guests and strangers can say, wow, look at that church. That church has some of the nicest people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And those Christians are some of the nicest people, all right? Let's have that said of us, okay? We're almost done here. Let's see what else we're supposed to be. Be of the same, oh, we missed one here. Be a blessing, right after hospitality. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Boy, that's hard to do. All right, that's hard to do. You read through this, you know, there's some young people that if they're at school and they have an anger problem or something else, I take them to these verses and I say, hey, listen, you know what? I don't care what they did to you. Here's what the Bible says. All right, the heaping coals of fire verse. I've actually always kind of liked that verse because it's a little bit of vengeance, right? You know, when you know God's taking care of it, you know, there's really, as a Christian, you don't have to have a problem with that, you know? The world is always out for vengeance, right? And revenge, okay? But one good thing to learn, maybe young men, because young men tend to have a bigger problem with the whole vengeance, revenge thing, all right? Is to just learn, hey, you know what? The best way to get revenge on them is to smile and be as nice as you can be. Because you know what? God's going to take care of it. And it's pretty awesome when he does. So, and usually, you know, at school I tell the guys that because, you know, usually I come in the form of God's help there on that one. And, you know, if so-and-so's actually doing what's right and being nice, I can crack down on the other guy because he's really obviously doing wrong. Okay, so hey, you know what? Put a smile on your face and be nice about it, amen? And God will take care of the whole vengeance thing, all right? That was extra, all right? That was extra. Number 17. Be compassionate. Look at that verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Hey, listen, you know what that is? Showing compassion. Showing compassion. The Bible says, and some had compassion making a difference. Do we want to make a difference? Boy, you know, this is a lot of stuff, and I tend to give a lot of stuff sometimes, but this one little word, be, it just jumped out at me. What am I supposed to be? And here at Romans 12, it's real obvious. And if we'll just start at the beginning and present our bodies every day to God and, you know, start at the beginning and number two, make sure our thinking is right. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed in our thinking. All the rest of this stuff becomes kind of like a fun challenge. Think about it that way. All the hospitality and being good to folks and working your job and doing what you're supposed to do, those kind of become a fun Christian challenge. Boy, God said it in front of me and I'm supposed to do that. So I am going to go do it. Amen. So take these things this week as a challenge. We're not done. Let me look at the last verse. Verse 21. See, the sad thing is, if you never get verse 1 right, verse 1 is presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, reasonable service. You should do that. Verse 2, if you never get that one right, none of the rest of them are really going to click like they ought to. Don't be conformed to the world. Transform your thinking. Okay? And that's why Paul has it broken up here. He says the first two verses is about you and your consecration to God. Are you committed to doing God's will for your life? Are you? And you know what, young people, if there was anything I'd say make sure number one and two are settled. Because you know what, all this other stuff is good, but if all you're doing is doing it in a, you know, letting your love be without dissimulation, all that, if you're living all of the rest of these actions with no consecration and no relationship with God, it's not going to go on forever. And someday you will end that relationship because you don't have a relationship with God. All the things that you were doing to keep everybody happy in the church and to be impressive to the world and to try to get people into church, guess what's going to happen? If you don't have a relationship with God, like verse 1 and 2 says, they're all going to eventually happen in verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what I don't want to be? I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be overcome with evil. Hey, listen, that verse right there, I know that that's used a lot of times, just, you know, the battle of good and evil and all that, but just think about that word, be not overcome of evil. Boy, once you hit that spot, it is hard to get back. where you're supposed to be. Don't be overcome with evil in your life. Don't be overcome. But you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to overcome you. He wants to come right over all the defenses that mom and dad have put up, and he wants to ruin your life. And you know what? Maybe you're an adult. You know what he wants to do? He wants to take all of those defenses that you have, and he wants to get in there and ruin something. And so you know what? Hey, listen, don't be overcome with evil. Let's take the stuff that God has right here, which is good, and let's overcome that evil with good. And you know what? Hey, listen, being takes some action. There's a whole bunch of things that he said we're supposed to be right here. But you know what? Hey, listen, all of these things that he listed, be this, be that, be this, be that. If we just stand here and expect it to happen, is it going to happen? No. We need to go out and we need to take some action and get this stuff done. God doesn't always demand, he doesn't always tell you how it's, you know, he does tell you how it's supposed to be done. I don't want to say that wrong. He does tell you, read the Bible, it'll tell you how to do it, all right? But you know what? Sometimes he just sets something out there and he says, I want you to be this. I want you to be this. And you know why he says that? Most of the time, you know how to be that. It just takes some action on your part, okay? We know how to be kind one to another. It just takes some action. We know how to not be slothful in business. It just takes hard work. So all of these being verbs, they require some kind of action from me to get it done. And you know what I'd like to be? I would like to be well-pleasing in his sight. And you know what? The only way that's going to happen is if I take this chapter and say, you know what? First, I'm going to sacrifice myself to God and just say, God, you've got me. You can keep me. I'm yours. Second, I'm going to take my thinking and I'm going to transform it and make sure it stays right. And then after that, I'm going to take something like this list. And you know what? In no particular order, really. Go start doing one of them. All right? You say, which one should I do first? Well, I don't know. Let's just start with being kind after church tonight. All right, let's just start with some of the basic ones that might be easier to do. But you know what? We never get a day off for representing Jesus. And you know what? Let's do it this week. Let's do it this week. And let's go the extra mile. I encourage you to read Romans chapter 12. You know what? He keeps going, and the rest of the Romans is a clear presentation of how to live a good Christian life. And so I'd encourage you to go and read that. But listen, don't be a castaway. Don't end up that way. And you know what? It can happen to any of us at any time. If we take no action, the devil takes action on us. And you know what? You don't. There is no. You're not God. God is the only one who can be and never change. Right? I can be, but it's going to take some work to be where I need to be. Right? No matter what, it's going to take work for me to stay faithful to God. It's going to take me walking with the Lord. It takes action for me to be in God's will. So how are we doing today? Are we in God's will? Are we being the type of person we ought to be? Let's pray and we'll be done. Lord, thank you so much for this night. And Lord, thank you for the command that, Lord, you just want us to be in a relationship with you. You want us to be saved. Lord, that's the most important thing. If there's not a person in here who's saved, no matter how hard they try, they can't accomplish these things. But Lord, I pray that they would come tonight and get their eternity settled. And Lord, if there's a person in here tonight who just has their thinking, they've never surrendered themselves to you. They've never laid their all on the altar. I pray that tonight would be that night. And Lord, after that, I pray that we would all walk around and make sure our thinking is straight. And then, Lord, we'd take this list and we'd go out and we would be in your will this week. Give us a good night and thank you for the message tonight and the truth of it.